Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Welcome to this In the Country Weekend Edition. On the show today, Cody Prevost. He's here to talk about his new album, All Kinds of Crazy, featuring the new single, Someday. I also have interviews with Steel. He has a new song called No Bones. Dan Arnold will drop by to talk about his single, God Bless Country Girls. The band Snakebite has a new song called All Night Long that we'll feature. We'll also talk with Derek from that group. Shannon Beresford is here as well. She was a top six finalist in the Magna Hoedown Showdown last year. I'll talk with her and share one of her songs. And brand new on the show is a Better Living segment with lifestyle advisor Vanessa Marie Dewsbury. She'll talk about living without expectations or attachments. It's a big weekend show here on In the Country, so let's get to it. First up is Cody Prevost, who had a very busy and successful 2013. He opened up shows for Florida Georgia Line and Joe Nichols. Cody won the Saskatchewan Country Music Association's Male Vocalist of the Year and Entertainer of the Year awards. He showcased in Nashville last September as part of the Americana Music Conference. He was also nominated for the 2013 CCMA Interactive Artist of the Year. My pleasure to welcome Cody Prevost to the show. Hey, Cody.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me back on.
Oh, it's great to have you back on. We've had you on several times in the past. Always great to catch up. The Interactive Artist of the Year nomination from the CCMA, I thought that was great when I read it because that is really important these days, isn't it?
It sure is, you know, with the internet and everything that's going on digitally, it's pretty crucial to have that as an independent artist, to be able to connect with your fans and get to know them on a kind of more of a one-on-one basis. And it's incredible how you can get to know people, you know, it doesn't matter where in the world they live, and you can get to connect with them and make new fans and build your fan base that way.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing through Facebook and Twitter, to name two, that you can reach not only within Canada, of course. I mean, it's endless. It's all around the world. You can make new fans everywhere. And I notice on Twitter that you're very, specifically there, you're very interactive. You're always responding to people who've sent you a tweet.
Yeah, it's incredible, you know. You get on there, and we're doing a bunch of different things right now, but, you know, you get on there, and you're able to talk to people and to get, if you have a new set song out, you can really get it out to people that maybe wouldn't necessarily hear your music if it's not playing on their local radio stations. And so over the past about year and a half, we've actually been doing what's called a Twitter party. So every Tuesday night, all the fans and I log on and we chat for an hour, and there's people from all over the world, and every week it grows, and, you know, just using different hashtags, more people come in, and it's quite a unique thing, and it's incredible how it's helped me and my career grow and as well helped connect with those fans.
That's pretty awesome, and people can find you on Facebook and Twitter, and of course your website is CodyPrevost.com. In 2013, you got to open up for a huge band these days, Florida Georgia Line. What was that experience like?
It was incredible, you know, to get a chance to open for someone like that. They were just kind of, you know, just had the first album released at that time, and to be able to go out and open for a band like that and watch what they do and how they interact with the crowd, you know, there's so much to learn as an independent artist, and to get that opportunity to learn from those guys is, you know, that's just, words can't explain it.
Yeah, you can learn a lot. I can imagine being an artist from watching other acts on stage, how they present themselves, what they do. You can pick up a lot. I know, for example, Garth Brooks influenced a lot of artists when he was, you know, when he first came out throughout the 90s, and people just watched his live shows, whether they were on TV or at a live concert, and learned a lot from that.
Well, exactly, and, you know, it's incredible because as a country artist, you know, growing up, I grew up in a farming community, and I remember every year watching the Country Music Awards and, you know, dreaming of one day possibly being there and experiencing that. And, you know, when you finally get that moment to go open for someone like that or to go to the Country Music Awards, it's, you know, it's a pretty surreal moment.
That's got to be. And being at your provincial Country Music Awards in Saskatchewan, and you've done quite well there. You've won awards in the past. Last year, Entertainer of the Year, Male Vocalist of the Year.
You know, I feel truly blessed because, you know, having that right in at home here in Saskatchewan, it really gives artists a place to get their feet wet and get into the country music industry. And, it, you know, maybe some provinces and some states wouldn't have necessarily organization like that. So, you know, I feel lucky that us artists here in Saskatchewan have something like that where we can, you know, get a start and get performing and get out there and meet people and network. And, you know, it's just true, you know, that first step you need as an artist to get in there and to launch your career.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great support system, and that's wonderful. Now, you had a chance last September to showcase in Nashville. I understand it was the Americana Music Conference. What was that experience like performing there, and what did you get out of that?
I went down there with another group in Saskatchewan called Sask Music. Now, they're a group who, as well, you know, embraces talent and up-and-coming people from Saskatchewan. And they've been doing a series of different things. They took a bunch of artists out to L.A. A little bit before that to showcase, but that was more of the rock side of things. And then they did this Nashville one, so I ended up applying for the showcase spot, and luckily I got it, and I traveled down to Nashville. And what it was is an acoustic showcase where they invited, you know, industry members out. There was publishers, there was tour agents, there was, you know, record company people. And just to get to go there and get that opportunity to play in front of those folks was incredible. You know, since then I've been talking to a bunch of different people, you know, about possibly working together in the future. And you know what, as an artist, that's, you know, there's that word networking again. That's a true opportunity to do something like that.
That sounds awesome. And as you said, it's networking. You go to these conferences and events, and so much of it is connecting with people and then continuing that relationship afterwards. And I guess that's great advice for artists out there beginning their career. Networking is essential.
It is. It is. You know, it's a very small world. Doesn't matter where you go. And the more people you can know and embrace and become friends with, it doesn't matter what it's for. Maybe you want to songwrite with someone new, or, you know, and it's so easy to meet those people because in this industry, people are so receptive in the country genre that, you know, they're willing to lend a helping hand. They're willing to help an up-and-coming artist, and that's what I found is so amazing about being in the country music industry.
Now, speaking of songwriting, Cody, you do a lot of your own songwriting and write great songs. We're going to talk about more of those. But what would you pass on as far as advice to songwriters out there who are kind of new at it and wanting to get better at it, either specific advice or just organizations or books they can read, just pointing them in the right direction to writing better songs?
There's a few things. Like when I first started songwriting, there's a, you know, in every country there's different organizations that take care of your publishing and your ownership rights. And so definitely, like, the first step in songwriting, if you want to, you know, get into it and take it seriously, just because it doesn't cost anything, just become a member of one of those associations. Because when you start to write songs, as soon as you write them, you build a catalog, and then you put them into the, you know, you register them with these companies so that, you know, ownership is yours, and then you're protected that way. But, you know, as far as songwriting goes, just be open to different ideas. You know, don't be afraid to do a co-write with someone. Don't be afraid to approach different writers. I remember on my first trips to Nashville, just approaching different writers and opening up that door to create new opportunities to become a better songwriter that much quicker. Because if you can have kind of someone you can learn from, you'll get to where you want to get to, you know, even in a faster process. I felt going to Nashville on my first trips really helped me to you know, improve my songwriting at a way faster pace than I could have on my own.
Now, you were part of a tour in 2013, Imagine No Bullying, and that's obviously a very important topic these days because we hear a lot about it, whether it's, I guess, in-person bullying, so to speak, or cyberbullying. Can you tell us about that tour and what you were looking to achieve through it?
I can. It was with another artist, Stephen McGuire, and Stephen had approached me a few months prior, and he had asked if I'd be interested in going across the province of Saskatchewan and doing an Imagine No Bullying tour. And, you know, every time you turn on the news lately in Saskatchewan here, it seems, and, well, not just Saskatchewan, all over the world, there's, you know what, it's just so sad to see what's been happening and how far people are taking this. And I think a lot of it has to do with the internet and cyberbullying. Because when I was growing up, bullying was everywhere. But after school, you'd go home, and there wasn't the internet. There wasn't cell phones that everybody had. So, you know, you'd be away from it. But now it seems like it's something that never goes away. And it's just really sad to see what's been, you know, young kids taking their lives. It's been so tragic to see. And so I told Stephen I'd love to do this with him, and we went on this tour, and we went with the Canadian Red Cross, and so we brought a representative from the Red Cross, and they actually gave a talk, and me and Stephen did a performance as well as talked about our stories, where we grew up in the world, and what that was like, and it was just such an incredible and powerful experience to have these kids email you after and tell them how it changed their life. And you know, and all it takes is just one kid. If you can, you know, make someone's life better just because, you know, of a tour, of going to play a show, you know, that's what music's all about. And if you can use your music to do something like that, it was an incredible experience. And we're actually looking at doing it again this year.
Oh, great, great. That's so important. Something like that can, teach those in the audience maybe who are bullies, and it can turn them around hopefully and at least offer support to those who are having that happen to them. And music is so powerful that way. And another song you wrote that helped people through a lot of times, and I know it was based on a personal experience for you, it's a song called I'm Okay. So many of your fans know this song and have embraced it for the comfort that it offers to them. Can you talk about that song and maybe just the impact that you're aware of that it's had on others?
Well, this is a song I wrote. I wrote it for a good friend of mine, and I've shared this story before, but when we were growing up, she lost her brother in a car accident. And when you see someone go through that, and lose someone so young that's so close to them, it's such a tough thing, and all you want to do is find some way to help them through that tough time. But that's a pretty hard thing to do, is find some way to help someone through that hard of a time in their life. So it was about 4 or 5 years ago now. I was down in Nashville, and I sat down with my good friend Adam Wheeler, who I write quite a few songs with, and I told him this story of how my best friend had lost her brother, and all I said to him was, you know, I'd love to sit down today and to try to write a song to help people through times like that in their lives, and we came up with I'm Okay that day, and it's definitely been a song that's, you know, been one of my favorites that I've ever written. After so many concerts, I've had people come up to me and as well email me with just, you know, their stories after that. And for me as a songwriter, that's truly connecting. And then that's what, that's something what music's all about for me.
Definitely, and you do that so well. We're going to turn to another song that you've written. In fact, it's your latest single that you wrote with Adam Wheeler, who you just spoke about. It's from your album All Kinds of Crazy. When we come back after playing the song, we'll get into the album that's upcoming, and we'll talk about it. But tell us about the song Someday. It's quite a lovely ballad.
We were at Adam's house writing, and we had spent the whole morning writing another song. And, you know, usually you don't ever write. There are too many times you don't write two songs in one day. But we were just kind of hanging out after we had written this first song. And I started playing this melody on the guitar. And then I started humming to it. And before we knew it, Someday was actually written in about an hour and a half. And it ended up being on the album. And the first song we wrote that day, I don't even remember what it was called. So, you know, sometimes that's just how it happens. It's just you start from something, and to me, Someday is a song about really, you know, again, embracing it and finding hope through a really tough time in life, and that's exactly what Someday was written about, you know what, I'm just super happy with the way it turned out, and glad it's on the record.
Well, here it is. It's the current single from Saskatchewan's Cody Prevost. And keep in mind, it's always important when you send requests, however you do it, call your station, tweet them, and let them know you want to hear this song, the latest one from Cody Prevost, because it does make a difference in getting radio airplay. It's from his album, All Kinds of Crazy, and we'll come back and talk more about the album and more with Cody Prevost here on this weekend edition of In the Country.
Breaking like an ocean wave, hoping just to reach the shore, praying for the light of day to find your way out of this storm. You've been tossed about, lost and found, lifted up just to be led down.
And that's Cody Prevost, his latest single called Someday, here on this weekend edition of In the Country. Great song, and there are more on the album. In fact, it's called All Kinds of Crazy. Now, that's a great title. Let's start right there with the name of the album. Where does that come from?
The name of the album, actually, it changed quite a few times before we got to the All Kinds of Crazy title. And we were just going back and forth with me and my management team and, you know, trying to come up with a good, solid title for the album. And, and All Kinds of Crazy is an up-tempo track on the album. It's about having a good time, and it was just a really feel-good song. And just around that whole word, All Kinds of Crazy, there's so much you could do with that. So basically, we decided on using All Kinds of Crazy as the title track. And when it came time to think of what we could do for photos and stuff, we weren't really sure how we could do the artwork and make it, you know, as crazy as possible.
Right.
And so the guy who does my graphic design called me one night and he said, "Can you do a photo shoot tomorrow?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I suppose." So what he had planned is the circus was going through town. So
right.
We actually went down to the circus, and the circus had agreed to let us come in prior to it starting. And they let us use the elephants and all the stuff. And it was just incredible. So it's the artwork. It was one of my favorite photo shoots I've ever done, just having the elephants. And it was a little, you know, I was nervous at times because their trunks, well, with one swipe, I could have been gone. And so I'm just so excited about this project. I worked in Vancouver with Tom McKillop on it. He was the producer on the album. And it's just, I'm so excited. It's my fourth project, and definitely I feel it's going to be my strongest project yet.
So how many songs did you go into when you started this album that you had to narrow down to the tracks that are on it?
Oh, you know what, I did not count. There were so many songs we went through, and it's just, you know what, that's the hardest part about recording is picking songs and picking singles and figuring out which ones will be the best to release to radio. And it's just, that process for me is always so hard because you're so close to a lot of the songs, and it's just so hard to say you're not going to be recording them. But definitely the songs that made the cut, I'm definitely excited about and looking forward to getting out to everybody. The album's going to be released March 1st, so that's coming up really soon.
That is coming up soon, and I've noticed that people can pre-order it on iTunes already if they hit on there.
It's available worldwide on iTunes and as well on CodyPrevost.com, CodyPrevost.com.
Now, are all the songs on this album, once again, you had a hand in writing each and every one of them?
Actually, I do have some outside songs on the album. And see, that's another tough thing because when you're getting outside songs, you got to kind of connect with the publisher who's sending them because you really want him to know who you are and what would work with you. And so when I get a song, you know, I try to envision, can I sing this song and make it my own and believe in it, and have I been there before? And so definitely that's something, that's another challenge is picking outside songs and trying to pick the best possible songs, you know, may it be your own that you've written or an outside song, just being able to know that song is better, so that one should be the one you cut, to pick the best songs possible.
It must be exciting when you get these songs from a publisher and you find one that is just right and you start to listen to it and you say, I got to record that one.
That happens, you know, but you go through a lot of songs. And then there is, when that happens, you're so excited that you don't waste any time. You call the publisher right away and put the song on hold, and you just hope that nobody else did as well.
Now, what about cover songs? I recently did an article that's going to be on the February Country Music Association of Ontario, in part of their newsletter. I do a monthly column now, and I did it on cover songs. Do you have some that you still do in your shows, Cody, and some that you love to do?
Oh, we do. For sure we do. You know, on the last album I did a cover song. I had never done one before, and I decided to do one. You know, I think it was about 4 years ago that I approached my band and said, you know, I'm wondering if we shouldn't learn the song Cotton Eye Joe with you guys. And, of course, they were a little bit skeptical. They didn't know what to think about it. But anyway, we learned it, and as well I played harmonica on it, and the first show we played it at, the crowd just went crazy. Like, it was just insane. And the reason I decided on that one is because I had never really seen anyone do a cover of it before, you know, since the Rednecks had come out with it. we ended up playing it at every live show after that. And then people just everywhere we went, they just loved that song and they just got into it and they were dancing and jumping around. And so when it came time to do the Get Loud album, I was looking at doing possibly a bonus track, and I thought it'd be pretty cool to do a cover song. And so I ended up choosing Cotton Eye Joe, and I recorded it. And actually, I had a gal named Katie Love Hess. She's originally from Saskatchewan, but now lives in Alberta,
yeah.
And just an amazing singer. And so she was the guest artist on the song, and she sang it with me. And it was just incredible. You know, it's incredible to hear that and to record it and to just have a new look on it.
Now, you've done videos in the past. You always do a great job with them, and they bring a new dimension to the songs. Any videos planned in the upcoming year for any song off the album?
For sure there is, actually. We were just talking about a video. I got a meeting after this interview about we're going to look at filming a video for Someday. So
Great. We're
looking at doing it next week, actually, which is going to be exciting. Videos are a lot of fun. You get a chance to, like you said, put a new spin on the song and try to make it unique and maybe make the video about something that is not necessarily what people would think it's going to be. And
right,
so it's
right.
It's exciting. So we're meeting with the director and we're gonna go through it and we're gonna get a video out there for Someday right away.
Oh, that's great news. We'll look forward to that. And people can again follow you on Facebook and Twitter. You're very interactive, and you'll respond and when they give you feedback on songs and so forth. And CodyPrevost.com
yeah.
is your website. Brand new album, All Kinds of Crazy, available at iTunes, and the new single once again is Someday. Cody, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. Once again, Cody Prevost. The weekend edition of In the Country continues now with country artist Steele. He's originally from Nova Scotia, now living in Ontario. His album comes out in March, and it is called Canvas, which is a great title, and the first single from it now out of country radio called No Bones. Welcome to the show, Steele.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Now, what I love about No Bones, the single out now, is this is country music. It has all the elements of it. This is something you purposely set out to do?
Yes, it is. Get back to roots, and the whole album is riddled with banjo and mandolin and fiddle and just the real country sound and groove. It had some really, really great musicians play on the album, so really flattered about that. And the outcome is fantastic. I'm very happy with the project and with the production and the sound and the songs. It just all kind of came together.
Pretty amazing. Well, your producer, this tells us a lot right away, is a Grammy-nominated producer, Kent Wells, who has worked with Dolly Parton, Neil McCoy, Michael Peterson, to name just three. What was it like working with somebody like Kent?
Amazing. He's such a talented individual, not just on the production side, but as a musician as well. And, you know, it just kind of made me feel like part of the family right from the get-go. And he has a wonderful assistant, Christine, who does a lot of the backup vocals on the tracks. And the two of them are just, the whole crew there. It's you know, it's like a family setting. And, you know, every now and then Dolly would pop in and like, get to be in her presence, which was pretty awesome. So it was my best studio experience thus far, that's for sure.
When you meet someone and see someone like Dolly Parton, country music legend, you know, we hear the stories, you get speechless, don't you? It's hard to know what to say to somebody like Dolly.
You know, when I met quite a few people in Nashville, just living there. I have a place in Nashville too, but I've met Tim and Faith numerous times, at restaurants, little eateries in Green Hills, or
yeah.
Keith and Nicole at the grocery store. And it is, you know, it's
wow.
kind of lose your speech a little bit, but with Dolly, she doesn't let that happen. She just includes you automatically right off the get-go, you know,
right.
Like, who's this? You know?
That's pretty amazing. Wow. Now, you're working with Karen Staley, who is a hit songwriter on many. The list would be endless, but a few of the key ones here, Keeper of the Stars, love that song from Tracy Byrd. And Let's Go to Vegas, speaking of Faith Hill, a song that was a hit for her. What is it like working with a hit writer like Karen Staley?
Well, when I met Karen, we hit it off immediately. We're both Leos, so that's a lot of creative passion there in the room. And we wrote a tune, and then she said, you know, I'd really like to write with you again. And so I went back and I wrote with her again. And she's actually my mentor. She's like a big sister to me. And that's what I call her, big sis, and she calls me little bro. And again, it's such a family relationship. And to work with someone of her caliber, for me, was very validating, that what I've spent my whole life believing and doing, you know, because those people, those writers just don't write with anybody because their name is on it, you know?
Yeah.
And so to have the opportunity not to write once, but several times with her, and then have a relationship with her, I flew her up to Cavendish in Prince Edward Island for Cavendish Beach Music Festival.
Oh.
And she did backups, and she did backups for me. And we have an ongoing, wonderful relationship. And it's just to work with someone, you know, who's had numerous number one hits is just an honor and a privilege. And again, validating that, you know, I was kind of right to keep on believing, right?
Yeah. You're right, because there are times when you go through these a music career that you doubt yourself, right? Because things aren't happening fast enough, and we need people who believe in us.
Yes, absolutely. You know, but it's when, with Karen, it's funny, and then another hit writer with Sarah Majors, she, you know, when my career took off was the day that I said, I'm done. I'm done with country music. She said the next day the phone rang and I got my deal.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow.
So we all get there. We all get there.
Yeah.
You know, but then you just have to stop. I remember Terry Clark saying one time, you know, you just have to stop and look back at what you've actually accomplished, not what's not happening right now. But, you know, working with Dolly's producer and you know, having played big festivals and having your song on the radio, like, those are all huge accomplishments, you know? So you just keep on keeping on, and you work hard enough, and you will prevail.
That's great advice, and so much of it is the hard work. The talent has to be there, and that goes without saying, but the hard work that takes it further. The name of the album is Canvas, and it's an intriguing title. It's making me wonder what's behind that.
Well, when I was trying to come up with a name for the album, it's the one that just popped in my head. All of the tunes on the album, I kind of have the same writing style as Keith Urban, where we kind of just sing about our life in ways that other people can relate to, not just about me. And I just thought, you know, this is like this album is my portrait or a canvas of me, of every aspect of my life. So I just thought it was very appropriate in relation to the songs that I wrote for it.
Really cool. Now, the songs on it, are there songs that you didn't have a hand in writing that are part of this?
No. I write all my own stuff.
That's great. That's great to know that your name is on all of these, and these are songs that have come from you, and whether it's a personal experience or, you know, it's stuff you know about, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. There are, you know, there's tunes that I've co-written on there, as we discussed with Karen and Sarah Majors, and Don Goodman's another good old boy that I wrote with. He wrote Old Red for Blake Sheldon.
Oh yeah.
So we wrote a tune on it. We wrote a tune on the album called Dream Machine, which we're going to release probably 4 or 5 singles this year to Canadian radio, just to get me out there and get me heard and get me exposed in Canada. I spent a lot of time in the U.S. working and making some great progress, but I just thought it's time to come home and kind of make my name here as well.
Yeah. And so much of it is getting out and meeting the people in the industry, right? So you go to radio stations, you do a tour, whether Debbie Wood is along with you, your publicist, great publicist, and meeting people in radio and starting a relationship, right?
Absolutely. It's a must. Just putting the face with the name, you know, albums and singles come in every day, And once you, you know, like you and I, we have this opportunity, I have this opportunity to talk to you a bit about myself and my music. You know, when the next single comes out, it's like, yes, I remember Steel. And, you know, we had a great chat, and I'll definitely give this a listen. Maybe give it a spin. See what happens, right? Because otherwise you're just a name. You know, if you don't make that connection, you're like, I don't know who this is, right?
Yeah, exactly. We like people, not just names.
No, exactly. And then you're struggling with, oh, this artist is from Universal Records, as opposed to, oh, this is an independent. Well, I'm going to listen to one from Universal, right? So it's a dog-eat-dog business, you know, just like any other business. So you just got to be the lead dog, I guess.
Your influences, I'm sure, are varied and many. Can you name some of the greatest influences that got you excited about music?
Sure. Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn, Patsy Cline, The Judds. I'm naming all these female singers because my mom listened to country music when I was growing up, when my dad was out on the fishing boat. And so he'd be gone 3 or 4 days. So all I would hear is all these female country singers. And then as I got older, Garth Brooks, Johnny Cash, Keith Urban, Etta James, a big influence, Winona Judd. Just, I mean, I can go on. And, just a vast array of great, talented musicians. They were kind of my teachers because I learned their stuff first before I actually started to write. It was kind of my sound is different.
Very interesting. Yeah, you can learn from, I mean, the artists you mentioned are great country artists. And what I find interesting, too, to transition away from the music for a moment, you mentioned there about when your father would go away and being a commercial fisherman. You built and own your own seafood restaurant, and you did that at the age of 18?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Which I still have today. I have a great team of people there running it for me, and of course my mom is back there, so she kind of oversees everything that it runs smoothly. But at 18 I decided to stop fishing with my dad and my brother, because me and my dad were so much alike that we both agreed that one of us was going to end up overboard if we continued to fish together. And so I built the restaurant, and you know, it's grown into, like my music, it's grown into a successful, flourishing business, and it does very, very well for itself. And it's allowed me to pursue my dream, because, Dave, as you and I both know, and, you know, most listeners would know, it takes a lot of money to play in this business. And that's
for sure
what makes it all go around, you know?
Yep.
Everything costs money, not just the recording, but like you said, the publicity and touring, and just all of it takes quite a substantial amount of income to do it.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I knew
young. You can't get around.
I knew at a young age that was the reality of it. So I built the restaurant to be able to fund it myself. My dad taught me very young that, you know, no one's going to give you nothing. You have to work for everything. So I took that advice and made it work for me. And it's allowed me to pursue my dreams and live them out.
And the seafood restaurant is back home in Nova Scotia?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
It's
very
called,
nice.
Wharf,
well, this is,
Seafood.
Throw us the name again.
It's called Wharf Seafood.
Very nice. Nice. Man, it's great to know that you're successful not only in the restaurant business, the music business, because there's obviously a tie in there as far as it's business, and there's certain skills that it takes to be successful. I want to thank you so much for this conversation, Steele, and I'm just going to get set here now to play your new single at Country Radio called No Bones. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Dave. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Brand new music now from Steele from his upcoming album, Canvas. This is called No Bones on In the Country.
Oh, yeah. This is my story.
house and big dreams. I gotta start with something. I gotta walk a mile in my daddy's shoes. He knew what to do. That's why mama said I do. I've got something to learn about that. I got something to learn about that. I got something to learn about that. You work hard, you play tough. You'll get a pretty girl with a little love. You stand strong and stand proud when you're on your solid ground, yeah. And make no bones about that. And make no bones about that. My small town, this is where I come from, and I never change that. This is who I am, this is the real me, and I make no bones about that. And I make no bones about that. And I make no bones about that. I got a pretty girl with a little love. I stand strong and stand proud that I'm on my solid ground, yeah. I make no bones about that. And I make no bones about that. Any luck, hope not too long, a little me will come along, and I'll tell him this someday. I'll tell him this someday. It's what my daddy used to say. You gotta work hard, play tough, you'll get a pretty girl with a little love. Stand strong and be proud when you're on your solid ground. And make no bones about that. And make no bones about that. And there's no bones about that. No, no. This is who I am. This is the real me. And I make no bones about that.
The weekend edition of In the Country continues now with my next guest, Dan Arnold, and his brand new song is called God Bless Country Girls. It's from his album entitled The Hard Way, and I welcome him to the show now. Hey, Dan.
How's it going, man?
It is going wonderful. Now, I understand you are originally from Saskatchewan, and you now live in Alberta.
That's right. Yep.
Very nice. Western Canada, great, great place to live, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. Calgary is a great place to live if you want to play country music. I had the opportunity to get hooked up with some guys I probably wouldn't have had the chance to otherwise just by running into them, playing places like the
yeah.
Ranchmans and Cowboys. I got to run into Troy Kolko, and he wrote quite a few hits for Shane Yellowbird.
That's right.
And just, I was lucky to have guys like that around to kind of guide me through the process.
So many people to learn from. Of course, Troy and Joni wrote Pickup Truck, one of the songs they wrote for Shane Yellowbird that was a huge hit. You can learn a lot from these, from other songwriters, right, and other artists as you're starting out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a tough business, and it's good to have people to guide you through, you know, so you don't make really big mistakes early on, and Troy's a great songwriter, so he can kind of balance ideas off of him, you know.
Now, the single is God Bless Country Girls. Great title right there. It makes us, you know, want to listen to it, and it's a fun song. You wrote this one all by yourself.
Yeah, I write all the music and the lyrics myself. Wow. I had Mike Little and from Canyon's band and Melcher, Chad Melcher, he used to drum for Bamford. Actually, he'll be Bamford again, I hear. And Russell Broom is just a fantastic guitar player. So they dolled up all the songs really nicely for me. And Chris Burton, he plays with Canyon, as you probably know, his bass. And they're just the best players, I think, around. And it was good to have, you know, if you got the songs, then it's good to have the players there to back you up just to get, you know, to get the soul out of it, I guess.
Yeah, a great song is wonderful, but without the right production and all those little elements that make a song come alive, it doesn't come out as great. When you're in the studio, do you have production ideas? Do you suggest things you hear for a particular song?
Yeah, a good example of that was, like, I have a song called The Hard Way that you can download on iTunes, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, it's about getting kicked out of small town bars. And so I came into the studio the one day and I told Johnny, you know what I mean? I just pictured a video for it where there's just a ton of people that were outside the bar, and I was playing outside the bar because everybody got kicked out with me. And so I said, why don't we put gang vocals on it in the chorus, like a big gang vocal. So we did. It sounds like there's, you know, a bunch of people on there. So we had a bunch of singers come in and put gang vocals on in the chorus in that song. It's a really good example of, like, just an idea that we tried out, and it worked out really well.
Yeah. That sounds cool. That's gonna have a great sound. I love when little touches like that are done on songs that they might seem like little touches, but they end up making the song. So this is an up-tempo song from you, and the one you just mentioned obviously is a fun song. Do you write killer country ballads or ballads in general?
Yeah, I got quite a few of those type of songs. I haven't recorded them yet, but I will be, you know what I mean? It's just, I figured why not do something different to begin with.
Sure.
We demoed a bunch of songs, and the three I decided to just start out with were just fun songs, you know what I mean? Just makes you want to dance, I guess.
Yeah. That's important. I mean, country music, a lot of it is not just the slower ballads about life and heartache, but it's about having a good time on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Or
I
any
mean,
night.
The old cliche doesn't exist anymore, that people used to say to me, oh, you sing country, it's you lost your dog and your truck, and it's not
really
like that anymore. It's like, you know, the country boys are having a way better time than everybody else, it seems.
I love that. But it's so true. I mean, that's the stereotype. I've run into people over the years because I've been in the country forever, and that's the stereotype until they actually listen to it, and then so many of those people end up getting into it and becoming fans. Who are some of the people you became fans of growing up that may have influenced you, or even just artists that you really looked up to and enjoyed?
Well, like, I used to play rock. I used to love Ian Thornley. Well, I still do, obviously, just because he's a great songwriter and he's an amazing guitarist. I like the way he open tunes all his guitars lots. But then, you know, I grew up in the country on a farm, and I think just that comes across in the lyrics. And growing up in a small town is just where just everybody knows your business, and it's just, you can hear it in the lyrics. It's really funny. There's lots of irony in there. And so I grew up listening, you know, I had Garth Brooks and Brooks and Dunn around me and whatnot, but in the past few years, it's when I discovered Eric Church is when I really started to think, okay, I can do the country thing, I can fit in, because I think he's paved the way for a lot of guys like me that have heavier guitars on their songs. And like, if you've heard his new stuff, it's just ridiculously rocking. Like, I just love it. So
The Outsiders, or the Outsiders.
Yeah,
you're right. He has paved that way for sure, and it seems to be there's different movements in country music over the years. When Randy Travis came along, he kind of brought back tradition, and that started that cycle. And then guys like Eric Church, now he's brought along sort of that rock country to the forefront.
Yeah, and guys like Brantley Gilbert, too. I just love that guy. He's a great songwriter who's wrote some great hits for Jason Aldean and stuff like that. You know, I've seen him at the Saddle Dome with Tim McGraw, and I just giggled because he said, I bet y'all thought you were coming to a country show. He sounded like a metal band.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
When did you When did you get into writing your songs? As you said, you don't really co-write. You write your songs 100%. When did you write your first couple of songs?
A long time ago, man. I got my first country song. I wrote it in high school. I was in grade 11, and I just debuted it in a class. They wanted us to write a poem, and I said, well, I'll just write a song. And I came in, and I had a guitar, and people were like, holy, you can play the thing. So that was the first time like I started to realize I could write songs, I guess. And from there, it's just I've wrote more and more and more over the years.
Have you ever written a song that was a personal song, maybe about somebody around you, and it could have been a positive one, of course, but and shared it with them and had a reaction?
Yeah. I had a song called Just a Fool that was just about having way too many miles between you and you know, someone you care about. So I had that out on Reverb Nation for a while. I recorded it on Golden West Radio Starseeker thing. It's on a, I don't know where you can find it, actually. It got wrapped up in a CD and distributed, but so that was like the first time I won that contest here, and they wrapped up. But that song was probably one of my more meaningful ones, just about having too many miles between you to make it work. So,
and did that person hear the song and obviously be touched by it or moved in some way?
Yeah, like I think she cried a bit.
that's what a good song does.
I guess so, hey?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. Now, where can people find you online, Dan? What's your website?
DanArnoldMusic.com you can find me at, or I have a Reverb Nation site where you can stream some of my music. Just Google it, or it's ReverbNation.com/DanArnold09, or you can find me on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, YouTube.
Pretty amazing. And so I was talking to Cody Prevost earlier from Saskatchewan, around your territory there, and I know that you know Cody. He was nominated for the CCMA's Interactive Artist of the Year last year. It's so important these days, isn't it, to be interactive with what's called social media.
Yeah, and it's actually tough because, like, if you come from the country, like, I jumped off a tractor. I literally did. And then I went to record my CD. Like, I got off. I got laid off. I was driving a John Deere around at a potash mine, and I jumped off there, and I went and recorded my stuff. And I said, now that I'm kind of in this, I didn't expect I'd have this kind of reaction, and it's just, now that I'm into it, I'm invested, you know, like Debbie will say, oh, you got to keep on your Facebook and your Twitter, but, you know, I'm terrible at it, and it's a tough thing to do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it can be, for sure. It can be.
Yeah.
There's so much to keep up with, right? It's hard to comment on everybody's post or respond to everybody and to do it regularly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? But you got to keep up on it. It's super important.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where a lot of the audience is these days. That's where they're hearing about you. And, of course, when you interact with somebody, and, you know, I see a person tweet an artist, for example, and when the artist says hi back or anything back, I mean, they just go crazy and get all excited, so it makes a difference. Debbie, as you mentioned, Debbie Wood, your publicist, who promotes so many great country music artists. It must be great having her on your team.
Yeah, she's awesome. She keeps me in shape.
Yeah, she gets people's names out there and gets airplay at radio. Dan, it's been so great talking with you. We're going to share your song now, God Bless Country Girls. Our audience is going to love this. Thanks for being part of the show.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
This is Dan Arnold, God Bless Country Girls, on the weekend edition of In the Country. good. It's the weekend edition of In the Country, and time for a new segment on the show with lifestyle advisor Vanessa Marie Dewsbury from Barrie, Ontario. She's joining me now to talk about living without expectations or attachments. People do have expectations and attachments, and let's start off with maybe defining what those are.
Well, a lot of people have expectations of others and attachments to people, to things, material things, and a lot of times people have a lot of expectations in relationships, and, you know, you kind of set yourself up for disappointment when things aren't going how you want them to go, or you're expecting someone to do something and they don't follow through, and, you know, that can lead to a breakdown in a relationship. You know, they plan when they're going to get married and plan when they're going to have children, and that doesn't happen. They, you know, have high expectations of themselves, and they feel bad about themselves for not having, you know, followed through on what they had planned.
But there are reasonable ones to have, right? So we can expect, and a reasonable expectation would be for, like, a parent to, you know, expect their child to do well in school. That's okay.
Well, and, you know, clean the room and do things that they're asked, but even with school, like, you hope your children does well, but or your child does well, but, you know, sometimes I think it's stressful for children when they aren't doing well and their parents have these high expectations of themselves that sometimes they just can't meet if there's other stressors going on in their life or they're having problems in school. And, again, like, you feel like you're letting your parents down, and the children have stressful lives because they're trying to meet those high expectations of their parents.
Now, is there a way that communication helps in sort of ridding us of these expectations if we're expecting something of a partner, say, or a child or a parent? Can we communicate something so it's kind of out in the open and we can talk through it?
Yeah, definitely communication is key. I've seen a lot of friends that have been in relationships that, you know, they haven't worked out because they're wanting them to, oh, they should have done this or they should have done that, or I wish they had done this, and it doesn't work because they haven't communicated how they would, you know, how they would like the relationship to go, or so it just doesn't end up working out because of that.
For sure, and it seems that some of this with expectations is to do with self-esteem. You know, if somebody doesn't believe enough in themselves, they get disappointed because they didn't meet maybe their own expectations of themselves, not just others.
Yeah, like when you begin to, like, love yourself and accept yourself and embrace who you are, those things kind of, the attachments and expectations kind of are released and dropped, and you don't really have those. That's what happened to me. I used to have expectations of others and be attached to other people and partners, and when you have attachments as well, you develop fear of losing these things, whether it's material things or, you know, your boyfriend or girlfriend, develop fears of losing these things because you're emotionally attached.
Now, how is life better without expectations and attachments when someone has a chance to work through this? Again, it's not going to be done overnight, but when they can eliminate these things from their lives slowly, what kind of life will they be living?
You feel free. You feel like you don't, like, well, if you're attached to something, it's like, you know, you're standing beside the person and you're holding each other there. You can't really grow and evolve when you're having these attachments. So just a feeling of freedom and peacefulness.
How do you start to get someone to back off from that?
Well, you have to kind of give yourself constant reminders and like daily reminders of, you know, when you start feeling, you know, thinking, oh, say you're in a relationship and you're disappointed that your partner didn't do something, and you kind of have to give yourself reminders like, I should have communicated with him, or I will communicate with him moving forward. And, you know, it's definitely a daily thing, and you have to be very mindful of your thoughts, because thoughts are pretty powerful. So that's an important thing, is being aware of your thoughts and your feelings. And you can't control others, and that's another thing with the expectations. You know, when you have expectations of others, you're kind of basically wanting to have that control of the other person, you know, wanting them to do this or wanting them to do that, and we only have control of ourselves.
That is great advice, and it's a great topic. I'm glad we had a chance to cover it today with you, Vanessa, living without expectations and attachments. And people can find you online.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, and it's Vanessa Marie Love. That's not my last name, but it's what I go by on my Facebook account. Or they can email me at soulalivereiki It's S-O-U-L, Alive, A-L-I-V-E, Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, at gmail.com.
That is awesome. Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for being part of the show, our first lifestyle segment. It was really, really great to have a chance to speak with you.
Thank you, Dave.
My guest has been lifestyle advisor Vanessa Marie Dewsbury from Barrie, Ontario. And the weekend edition of In the Country rolls along now with my guest, Derek Babinin from the group Snakebite. And they are a great Southwest Ontario band with a brand new single called All Night Long, which we're going to hear shortly. Welcome to the show, Derek.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having us. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. And how are you doing today?
We're good. Yeah, we're getting by all the snow. We're doing well.
I know. It's Ontario has been hit with snow and cold over the weekend. And we'll get through it. Let's talk about Snakebite. First of all, the name of the band, and I, on your website you use the verb about fans getting snake bitten, which is a great way to to have fun with the name. How did you come up with Snakebite?
You know, that's a good question. Paul and Marty, Paul Lowry, our lead singer, Marty Marsh, are the original members of the band. They've been at it years, 10 years. And Paul's nickname, so to speak, is Snakey, Snake Boy, Snake. And he just kind of come up with it one day, and they put the band together, quite some time ago, and they've been plugging away at it. And I don't know if it's necessarily the best country name, but it sure sticks. So we're having a lot of fun with that.
It does, yeah. It's fun, and yeah, thinking about it, it could sound rock, but country, you know, Snakebite country, I can hear it kind of,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it defines country rock almost.
Yeah, you know, in the day and age of the single artist, everybody is one name. When we started doing our own music,
and
we have such a great following up here that the, you know, changing the name, changing everything would probably confuse a lot of people and set us back, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, in this day and age, how many bands left, Dave? It's a lot of solo guys in and around, you know.
Well, that's true. And the thing with names, I find, is, first of all, it's very hard, harder than it seems to come up with a name for a band. But once that name is there, even though it might, and I don't think that name is odd at all, but even though, like Lady Antebellum, for example, when the name first came out, you think, what kind of name is this? But once they become popular, now we just say Lady Antebellum, and it just sounds right.
Yeah, it rolls off your tongue, eh?
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah.
Now, you are primarily a drummer. Tell us about that.
I'm primarily a drummer. I also had my own band, Dickie Swift Band, that I fronted and lead sang for a few years. So I'm very familiar with the upfront stuff, too. But I've been drumming for... Yeah, maybe 100 years. I've been drumming a long, 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 long time. So it's worked out well with these guys. Started to do some writing with them and with Marty primarily, and I've wrote a lot of years. So it's been pretty good.
Now, I think everybody in the band does vocals, including yourself, except, as I was reading on the website, there's one of you who stays away from singing.
Marty does not sing. Marty does everything else, literally.
Right.
Marty does so much for the band. But yeah, we are big vocal oriented. Rock show type thing with the Eagles, vocal oriented, you know. And Paul,
yeah,
the great country Kroner singer that, you know, makes us really, really, really country. So it works out well.
That's great. I like when there's different vocalists within a band for the harmonies and maybe different leads. Now, you guys have shared the stage with some pretty big names, Blake Shelton, Lone Star, Canadian great artists like Jason McCoy and Jamie Warren. What is it like when you get a chance to work with big names like those?
It's always great. You know, if you look at, we're growing as artists and growing as musicians on a daily basis, and, you know, a lot of us are kind of in our mid-lives now, and whenever the bar's raised in front of you, it kind of gets your adrenaline pumping, and you know, you got to step up, and we've been fortunate enough to do that. So anytime you're working with exceptional artists, learn from them, you grow from them, you learn from them,
yep.
And also too, it's just the camaraderie. I'm a kind of like a rock guy, so I came from the rock world for the last couple of years. The big difference with country is everybody helps each other, everybody sticks and supports each other, everybody wants to see you succeed, and that's my eyes were hugely open when I came over to the country world. So I couldn't believe the camaraderie. And when we do those shows, Marshall Dane's fantastic. We did a show with Marshall back last year. And
great guy.
He raised the roof at the place, and that was one of his best shows. We've seen him. He said to me afterwards, because you guys played so well before us, we had to step up. But it's just great. It's just great awesome. seeing artists like Tim. You can raise the bar for music. We all win, right?
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's great you expressed it that way, and that is the way it is, because as fans, you know, you look into the country music world and you see that. You see that everybody gets along and supports each other, and it's great that is unique to country music. The album is called My Road that you guys have out, and the single is All Night Long. How was it for you guys putting that album together? Was it did you have a lot of songs to choose from?
We had, I want to say, around 14, 15. It's not released yet. I'm going to put 3 to 4 songs to radio, which is, you know, which is quite daring as an independent song. But we're going to fund it all. We're going to put 3 or 4 out. We have the other 7 songs that will follow, but they're just going to, you know, they're just going to be put on the album type thing. So you can definitely look for another single to be released within a couple weeks to a month. Then you will find the album, hopefully the EP. We're going to start with an EP probably by midsummer, and then the album will probably be fully released by the fall. So we're kind of taking it step by step by step. It's been a challenge, not so much writing-wise, but just production-wise and getting it all together and organized and working with, trying to find the right producer and working together on that. So we think we got it down now. So.
That's great. Yeah, it is definitely a lot of work putting it all together, the album itself, as you said, and then you've got to promote it, get it out to radio. I mean, there's so many steps involved along the way. Your website is snakebiteband.com, snakebiteband.com, that people can visit you at. Do you guys do cover songs, and can you let us know a few of those you might do at one of your shows?
Yeah, we do a lot. We did pretty much all the top hits from yesterday and today. Like, you will see songs like Jason Aldean stuff and Luke Bryan stuff, and then we'll even go back as long as like Fishing in the Dark. So, we have a lot of old mixture. We try to play some different stuff too, but it's pretty much all the top today's, like the hits that what you hear right today from Florida to, you know, all the way down to the standards and Johnny Cash and stuff like that. So.
That's awesome. There's so much country music to choose from, as you said, Johnny Cash up to Florida Georgia Line. And the thing with country music is the fans in the audience love to hear it all. They love the new stuff and the old stuff.
Well, you have that cross. When I first went to country music concerts a while back, I couldn't, and then we started playing at some of the festivals, and I couldn't believe that. You know, Dave, you have a 6-7-year-old little one out there. You have a 40-year-old mom and dad out there. And then you have an 80-year-old grandmother out there. And the age gap is so fantastic. I mean, you're covering such a wide area. That definitely helps the music, country's American part of the American culture too, right? So it definitely helps to grow in that way, shape, and form. So.
Oh, yeah, I love how it's just so inclusive that way. And, I was going to say bring families together as far as appreciation of music and stuff is passed down. That's what I've always loved about it. There's kind of an ongoing history of it. What do you guys hope, what does Snakebite hope to accomplish in 2014?
Well, we're going to definitely hit the road. We're going to go all the way up to Parry Sound, Sudbury, probably hopefully the Kingston area. We're going to keep going, stretch this thing out as far as we can, Ontario-wise. I know we're looking at some shows in Michigan. We got a little bit of play here. Canada Forces troops over in Europe are listening to the song. Big Country Radio in Australia kind of took it on. We got some play in Manitoba and Hanover, and so we're hopefully we can get stretched out this thing all across Ontario, and then we're going to start looking at hopefully getting some other provinces and keep forging ahead here. So we can't look back. We got to keep forging ahead.
Exactly. That's great. And we got to give a shout out to someone who brought Snakebite to my attention via Twitter, got me to know you guys, and that's Cindy Vanderlee. Hey, Cindy. I know she's a huge fan and supporter of the band.
Yeah, Cindy did so much she does the CCMA's work there with you guys and stuff, and Cindy just loves country. I met her last year and was fortunate. She comes to our shows and she's always tweeting, she's always Facebooking, she's always working hard for us, and that's just fantastic, because Cindy kind of came from nowhere, like she just kind of appeared as a fan, and we owe a lot to her, most definitely.
That's awesome. It's so great when fans can do that and then eventually become friends, and it's a great thing to have happen. It seems to happen a lot in country music. Derek, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We're getting set to play the new single. Appreciate the time.
Super. Dave, appreciate it. I look forward to hearing it, and hopefully we'll do this again really soon. I appreciate everything you did.
My pleasure. My guest has been Derek Babinen from the group Snakebite from Ontario, and here's their new single. You're going to love it. It's called All Night Long on this weekend edition of In the Country.
Call me your best friend. There's only
And the weekend edition of In the Country continues now with my guest, Shannon Beresford. And Shannon had a great time last year at the Magna Hoedown Showdown. She was one of the top six finalists. And if you go on YouTube, you can hear her do and watch, of course, her do performances of original songs and great cover songs as well. Welcome to the show, Shannon.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing terrific. It's so great to have you here. You contacted me through inthecountryinterviews.com to say hello and introduce yourself, and I really like your music. You got a great sound and a great songwriter.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, let's start off with, we're going to get to one of your songs later, but who are your musical influences, you know, the singers and the songwriters that have inspired you to pursue music?
Well, I think my first major musical influence was Shania Twain. You know, she had, like, all the outfits and the hair and the looks and the voice and the amazing songs to go with it. So
yeah.
I just kind of wanted to be her growing up. When I had her album Come On Over on repeat
right.
all the time. And Faith Hill and the Dixie Chicks, I used to get made
yep.
fun of at school all the time for loving country music and always singing their songs around at recess.
Now, do you come from a musical family?
Yeah. My dad and my brothers both play guitar, and my mom kind of sings around the house all the time. And when I was growing up, it was never like little kid movies on the TV. It was always like The Wizard of Oz or Oklahoma or The Sound of Music. And she'd always
right,
sing me
right.
the songs from those movies, and I kind of just grew up around music all the time.
Yeah, it just becomes something you know second nature because you're around it at such a young age. You absorb it.
Yeah.
Now, you write your songs, as I mentioned, and write great songs. Do you remember writing your first one?
Well, it's kind of weird. I started writing when I was really young because my mom was diagnosed with cancer when I was in grade 2. And around grade 5, both of my grandparents passed away in the same year, and my mom was going through remission. And I was having all these feelings about what was happening in my life, and I didn't really know who to talk to and who to go to with it, so I started writing songs about it just to kind of get it out there and write it down on paper to make myself feel better.
Yeah, that gets you through those times, right? It helps you through anyway when you can put it into a song and express what you're going through.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, what have you learned about writing songs from those very first ones to any that you're writing today? Have you sort of seen things that you've improved on and made written better songs?
I think my writing has definitely improved through the years. I think I've learned the main thing that I've learned about songwriting is that you should never write to please anybody else. You should always write what's important to you and what you feel, and that will come out for your songwriting. And I think a lot of artists kind of lose sight of that, and they write what they think the industry would want and what fans would want. And I think that shows in their music, and it's not really what they feel. And I think I've kept honesty in my songwriting a lot. And I
yep.
think that's important. I think you have to be honest with yourself and what you feel, and that will show in your music, and then people will just relate to that on a much deeper level.
That makes a lot of sense. It's true. I mean, you said it perfectly there about honesty. And as listeners, that's what we hear. We can kind of tell when someone is maybe singing about something they haven't totally been through. Now, let's talk about your experience with the Magna Hoedown Showdown last year. I got to go to the final event when Terry Clark performed, and Marshall Dane, and many others. It was a great evening. But you were part of the talent show, which was the showdown, and you made it all the way to the top six. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience, and I met a lot of amazing country artists from all over the province, and it was just one of those things where I got a chance to show people, especially in my hometown, that I was serious about country music and that I was serious about wanting to make this into a career and trying to get my music out there, and I got to cover a lot of amazing country artists' songs, so that was really cool.
Yeah, now you mentioned cover songs there. What are some of your favorites to cover, Shannon?
I love covering songs by Carrie Underwood and Miranda Lambert. I like doing songs that kind of challenge me vocally and instrumentally and songs that I can relate to. And I think it's kind of fun to cover a song that perfectly depicts everything I'm feeling at that very moment in time and then posting it so people know exactly how I'm feeling and what I'm going through.
Right.
I think it's kind of funny. It's a way of getting people's attention and being like, here, this is how I feel.
I think that's great. A great way to make use of a song. You're letting people know where you're at. That's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, sometimes I guess, like, I write my own songs to get my feelings out, but sometimes people just really get how I'm feeling, and they've already written a song, and I'm thinking, okay, perfect, like, I can just sing this.
Yeah. Yeah, this one sums it up best. And again, people can head to YouTube. Also, they can go to SoundCloud to hear songs from your EP, No Surprise. Now, of all the country artists that are out there, who would you most like to record a duet with?
I think Brad Paisley. I just respect him as a songwriter and even more as a guitar player, and I think it would be just such an honor to jam with him and get something going. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, he's a great great performer, great songwriter. I saw him at the Molson Amphitheater last year in the summer, and, man, he put on a great show.
My brother went to that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he had so much fun.
Yeah it was just, that was unbelievable. Brad is an amazing entertainer. Which musical hero are you hoping to meet someday, to just not really sing with, but have a conversation with and just spend some time with, maybe to learn something about the business?
I think Shania Twain. Because she's been my influence since day one, pretty much. And I think she's like the poster girl for determination and persistence and overcoming so many obstacles. And I think she would have so much career advice and wisdom just to pass on. And I think it would be amazing just to chat with her.
What is your favorite part about performing? What excites you, Shannon, about music and getting on stage?
You know what? It's actually the weirdest thing because I tend to zone out when I'm performing. It's almost like a feeling of euphoria. Like, it's really weird. I get up and I'm so happy to be up there singing for people that I kind of find myself, like, staring at people in the audience and kind of, like, creepishly smiling at them just because I'm so happy that they're there and watching me sing. And I'm just, I don't know, it's kind of funny, but I love that connection that I can have with the audience and just smiling at them because we both share the same love for music. I think that's my favorite part about it.
I like the way you put that, that you're both sharing the love of the same music. So when you're singing, for example, a cover song, a country song, Carolyn Don Johnson song, they're loving it, you're loving it. So you're almost a fan of, you are a fan of the same music.
Exactly, yeah.
I love the way you put that. your EP is called No Surprise. There's four songs on it. We're going to share one of them in a moment. What was it like for you to record those songs?
It was a long process. It took a little longer than expected, but it was my first real kind of introduction to recording music, and I'd never really been in a studio before, so it was an amazing learning experience, and I'm even more excited to be recording my new stuff. So,
oh, good. And
it
was
a great thing.
When is that going to take place?
I'm not really sure. I've been in talks with someone recently. He's a family friend.
Yeah.
His name's John Beetle Bailey. He's a Juno Award-winning producer, we've been in talk. So hopefully, maybe we'll get something going with that. I'm not sure, but we'll see. Hopefully,
yeah.
Soon.
Well, the future is wide open, and there's lots of great things to happen because, again, you do have those performing skills, and you come across well, you communicate well, which is a big part of the business. We're going to share
your
song called You'll Never Know. I know that Beverly Mahood gave you good feedback on it when you were at the Magna Hoedown Showdown. What can you tell us about the song, Shannon?
Well, this is a song I actually wrote about 4 years ago about a breakup I was going through. And this song in particular was pretty hard for me to write because it goes through every single emotion that I'm feeling about missing this person and why I miss them. And this feeling that I still have all these feelings, but they'll never know about it. And I think it was hard for me to write and kind of confront my feelings about it. But obviously I wrote it and I posted it, and then the boy ended up seeing it. And I guess now he knows that I still love him or whatever. But I think that's the beauty of songwriting, is like you can write something and then put it out there, and hopefully the person that it's for hears it, and then they get how you feel.
That is awesome. Well, Shannon, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. I'm so glad that you connected, and it's great to have you here, and I'm looking forward to sharing your song. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
This is Shannon Beresford and her song, You'll Never Know, here on In the Country.
Pull me in, though I tried to be lying if I said you never crossed my mind. It happens all this time, trying to find the words to let you know I never wanted you to grow. I'm getting stronger every day, but I can't forget the way you smile, the way you cry, and the color of your eyes. Said I didn't miss the rush from when our lips touched. I'd be lying if I said I didn't really miss you that much. I catch my breath every time I hear your name, and it kills me inside to know we'll never be the same. I'd be lying if I said you never crossed my mind. It happens all the time, trying to find the words to let you know I never wanted you to grow. I'm getting stronger every day, but I can't forget the way you smile, the way you cry, and the color of your eyes.
And that wraps up this weekend edition of In the Country. I'm Dave Woods. A big thank you to Cody Prevost, Steele, Dan Arnold, Derek from Snakebite, Shannon Beresford, and Vanessa Marie Dewsbury. You've been listening to In the Country, where country music never goes out of style. For more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.